Now, I'd like to say me and that guy hooked up there and said, here's what you're going to do to show the joy. But that's all him. I'm not that sophisticated in my planning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that you have placed in our hearts. We thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning to worship, to celebrate this joy of your Son, born into this world, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and our Savior. Lord God, may your joy, may your Holy Spirit fill this room this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good news is always welcome news, isn't it? So 18 years ago, my wife and I found out we were going to have our first child, our daughter, Abigail. And when we heard that news, we were busting with joy. But you know how that works. You know, you want to tell the whole world, but you know how it works. You find out you're pregnant at home, home test, and then you got to go into the doctor before you can say anything. And then you go in the doctor, and the doctor does doctor things, and the doctor says, yep, you're going to have a baby. And then you're just busting with joy, and you want to go out, and you want to tell everyone, and your parents, and your friends, and your neighbors, because this new life is coming into the world, and it's going to be your very own. You're a little scared. You should be a little scared, but it's good scared. And so you go and you tell family and friends because you just can't keep it inside. And Robin and I were so naive 18 years ago to the joy that it was going to be to raise this beautiful little baby girl for 18 years. She goes to college and next summer, and Pops is already getting a little weepy. What a joy. And then, a few years later, we found out we were going to have our second child, a son. And that joy ran, flooded into our life again. But that joy really hit its peak at a little different spot with my son. See, we had this wonderful, beautiful, in our eyes, perfect little baby girl. And as a father, all I could think of was, I would love to balance out our family with a son. And so there we were in that dark sonogram room, just me, Robin, and the nurse. Oh my gosh, was I anxious. I was so nervous. I wanted to be the dad that's like, as long as the baby's healthy. But deep down, oh, I wanted a boy. And then that nurse said some of the most beautiful words I've ever heard. You're having a boy. Oh, happy day. In that moment, I had to be professional. But I threw my hands up in the air and I went. I was so excited. And so then we took that noise and that joy, and we went out and we told the world. We told our parents, we told our friends, we told our coworkers, because we were just busting at the seams with the joy of that good news. Now today is Christmas Day, and we are again bursting at the seams with the joy of the Lord. Now we're Lutherans, so I know you're kind of keeping it on the down low right now, right? But deep down, we're bursting with joy. We're like my little man over there that went running down the center aisle. Yeah! Because we know that Christ is born. Our Savior has come into this world to save us. And the words we read from the Old Testament text this Christmas morning, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. These must have been such welcome words for the Israelite people to hear that day. They had been on the receiving end of some serious suffering, under control of foreign nations, being told what to do by unruly tyrants, submitting to people that did not know the name of the one true God. But they weren't innocent victims, were they? No, the hardship they faced, the torment from the foreign invaders and those good-for-nothing kings, were because they turned away from God. They were worshiping idols. They had placed these man-made things, these things crafted by the flawed hands of man, over and above the one true God. And so God, to lead them, in order to lead them to repentance and to purge them of the idols in their life, the things they were worshiping, God allowed them to feel some of his wrath. God allowed these invading armies to come in and make life super unpleasant for his people. And sin was to blame. Sin was to blame. Sin was the reason for their suffering. Sin was the reason God had to allow his people to feel his wrath in varying measures. Sin was the reason why God let the Babylonians come and capture the Israelites and have them suffer under that, so that they would turn back to him. Sin was the reason then. Sin is the reason today that we still tangle with troubles and sufferings and hardships in this life. Now find someone unfamiliar with the Christian faith, and they might look at our situation and they might go, sin's the problem. Then get away from sin. Just get away from it. How do I get away from my own flesh? How were the Israelites supposed to get away from their own sinful flesh? How are you and I, where can we run far enough to get away from our sinful hearts and minds? Nowhere. And so that same person might then go, all right, well then just wait it out. At some point, just wait it out. And things will end and you won't have to tangle with sin anymore. But we know that's not truth, right? We know about the long game. God speaks very clearly to the long game of our existence. God speaks very clearly and says in his word that when we die in this life, if we die apart from Christ, the suffering doesn't end. In fact, the suffering intensifies. The fact that we cannot escape our own sin, that we cannot avoid our own sinful flesh and the eternal torment that our flesh is due, that is the very reason why we are bursting at the seams with joyful good news this morning. Might sound kind of weird, right? But we are bursting at the seams because we cannot avoid our sin, but God has sent Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Savior, into the world to rescue us. And in Christ, we see that good news that Isaiah spoke about. We see the published peace in salvation that Isaiah spoke about 2,500 some years ago. Imagine being those Israelites, having gone through all that you've gone through, and then you hear the Lord say, break forth into singing. You waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Just imagine for a moment how peaceful those words and refreshing those words must have been to the ears, to the hearts and minds of the Israelites. They had scorned the Lord so many times. They'd ignored his voice. They'd pushed aside countless prophet after prophet after prophet, and they were feeling firsthand the wrath of God. And then, after all that, to hear God say that he has returned, that he is going to restore, that he is going to comfort. These people had strayed from God and suffered serious consequences, and now God, in his divine mercy and choosing, was saying things like, break forth together in singing. Because he, God, had chosen to return to his people with forgiveness in hand. Now today, you and I are not necessarily in the same spot as those Israelites, are we? Speaking of worldly perspective, we're not under the boot of some foreign nation or some unruly tyrant. But we are in the exact same spot spiritually. The sinful flesh that condemned then is the same sinful flesh that condemns today, and we cannot escape it by our own doing. But today, we have one incredible privilege. Today, We sit on this side of the gospel story, on this side of Christ's birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. See, we aren't like the people in the Old Testament times or the New Testament times. We aren't like the Israelites. We aren't like Mary and Joseph or any of the apostles that were trying to figure this all out real time and make sense of all this. No, we are so blessed that we have this full gospel story in hand. And it tells us that all the work necessary for our eternal salvation has been done. It's complete. It's finished in Christ. We have that certain truth in hand. In fact, we were stamped with it in the waters of baptism, that through faith, God has promised us, guaranteed us, that we will have eternal life with him. That is why we are bursting at the seams in joy this morning. That is why we celebrate every single day that Christ is born, Christ lived, Christ died, and Christ rose again. That's the joy we carry forward every single day that gives us the strength and the will and the desire to put one foot in front of the other and keep going about this life with our eyes fixed on Jesus, waiting for his promised return on that last day. On that last day, our Lord Jesus, in the scripture read today, said that all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Imagine that. All the ends of the earth will center their eyes on our Lord Jesus. The birth of our Lord Jesus was the first view of the promised joyful salvation. And now we simply wait. We wait faithfully for that second view when our Lord has promised to come into this world. And in that waiting, there'll be good days and there'll be some not so good days. There'll be days where we feel really good and days where we are miserably sick. There's going to be days of great joy and days of great grief. But through it all, amidst it all, the joy of our Lord is our constant. The presence of our Lord is our strength. And as Paul said in his Romans text, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of our God in Christ Jesus. Good news is always welcome news. And you never have to tell someone, hey, can you sit down a second? I got to share some good news with you. No, you just share it because it's good news. And we today in the Lord's presence have this good news. It is real. It is tangible. It is guaranteed. God says, live in this. Cling to this. Keep this close to your heart. Be in his word daily to be reminded of this joy. And then go out in the world and tell someone about it. There's not a man, woman, or child walking this earth right now that doesn't need to hear about the joy that our Lord Jesus brings into our own life. My hope and prayer is that this next year throughout our church community and our world for that matter is a Christ-centered life, a Christ-centered day. I pray the Lord blesses you, guide you and lead you in all things, and remind you that you are his dearly loved child. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen us. We thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world to be the sacrifice that we ourselves could not be. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is a promised presence in our everyday. We thank you, Lord, that you keep us clinging to this faith that gives us hope and joy today and about the days ahead. Lord, we pray most deeply that you would keep us clinging to this faith, joyfully, hopefully, until that one day when we, along with the entire world, see you face to face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.